Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, oh God.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and WZO Radio 103.9 LP FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. And I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Guys, I have a great song for you. It's a great Christian song. The chords are G, C, and F, but I forgot all the lyrics. But it's a really good song. I'm sure you guys will.
You forgot the lyrics. Well, how mid for it? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it goes like, And you're like, yeah, God.
It's classic. And our guests today are Dread Pirate Higgs, George, and Red Leader. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious holy books, superstition, and gods. If you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville. And we'll tell you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there was a streaming atheist call-in TV / video show broadcasting here from Knoxville? You knew
Larry,
that,
Tyrone? I'm glad. Yeah, because you bring the hard topics, and this is an important subject. So there are basically two video game stores, Epic Game Stores and Steam, where you can get video games. They are both free programs. So why are people making such a fuss when a game comes out only on Epic? Epic is really good. It gives you free games every week. I have an entire game. I have an entire game library. I think this is important. What can we talk about it?
No.
What?
No, this is a TV show. It's a broadcast from Knoxville. It was broadcast on TV for 10 years, but now they switched over to a video format, and they're broadcasting live on YouTube every Wednesday night. I think it's 7 o'clock, 6:37, something like that. Anyway, go to YouTube and search for Free Thought United Coalition of Knoxville. We'll tell you more about that after the mid-show break. Wombat, what's our topic for today?
We're going to be talking about how to respond to common questions that you might run into when you might do street epistemology or talking to people about why they believe in what they believe with friends. And I had a conversation with a friend who is a Christian. He asked me some questions after he realized that he may not have the best position to believe in his God. And I think it would be good to just go over some, like, how would you respond? Theoretical questions.
But straight epistemology?
Yeah,
that?
I know. Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? So, I'll actually throw this to Dread Pirate. Dread Pirate, would you mind giving us a quick definition of street epistemology and then opening up with our invocation for today?
A quick definition of street epistemology is the Socratic examination of a person's beliefs and the methodology by which they come to hold them.
Yeah. It's a conversational technique. That's it.
And then, with emphasis on the methodology itself, really, more than
absolutely.
The
rules. Absolutely.
All right. The invocation. Okay. Quab be my captain, I shall not want. He maketh me to float in salt water. He steereth me through glassy seas. He filleth my bowl. He steereth me through the straits of noodliness for goodness sake. Aye, though I sail through the heaving of tempestuous waters, I will fear not sinking, for thou art with me. Thy mast and thy rudder, they comfort me. Thou preparest a feast before me in the presence of me mates. Thou quencheth my thirst with grog. My goblet runneth over. Truly, pasta and grog shall follow me all the days of me life, and I will dwell in the galley of the Quab forever. Amen.
Amen. I love Dale's face the entire time you went through.
I love the noodliness part.
Yeah, that was a bit more seafaring than normal. I like it, and I like the hat too. Let's throw out some quick hey, hellos. How are you guys doing? Dale, how you been? I love that tweed jacket, by the way. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. It's from Scotland.
Nice. From you were dressed for radio.
Well, actually, this is video, and I just figured if anybody's going to pay any attention to what I have to say, maybe I should respect, you know, them.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good.
I took a shower too. How many of you can say that?
I can't.
Larry, I can't.
Larry, what do you got?
We should probably mention to the people who are listening on WOZO Radio here in Knoxville that this is also being broadcast live on Dread Pirate Higgs' YouTube channel. But also we record it video and put it on several channels. Do a search. Go to YouTube. Do a search for Let's Chat, or simply do a search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, and you'll find the videos.
So. Very nice. And then, George, how you been? How's your morning so far?
Oh, my morning's great.
You recently had surgery. How's your recovery coming along?
Oh, it's incredible. I am not in pain.
That's always a good thing.
It's underrated
how good that is.
Listen, God is blessing me. I have to tell you, praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am not suffering from surgical pain, and that's the good part. I'm happy to have an occupational therapist who reads the New York Times every day here in Athens, Tennessee.
Oh, so you have stuff to talk about because you're a New Yorker yourself, right?
I am. But she's not a New Yorker. She's not a New Yorker. She just wants to dig the news, you know, appropriately. And I met somebody else here in Athens who also has read the New York Times often. So,
very cool. Talking to people will be the subject of this show.
And I think it'll be kind of cool.
Before we do that, Dred, how's your classes coming up? You're going to be teaching pretty soon, aren't you?
I'm still working on the syllabus, and should have that together here by the end of August.
Very cool. Are you nervous? How do you feel? How's the inner noodles?
Well, you know, my hope, of course, is to help people, hone some of those critical thinking skills in order to, you know, regard the universe in a more practical way, I suppose. The magic out of it and get to the real substance of what the universe is all about.
Dread Pirate, I wanted to ask you, is it possible for non-Canadians to attend your course?
I would imagine it's going to be open for anyone that's willing to pay the fee.
Or if you can, I don't want to make it sound bad, but if you can record it somehow and then just release all the whole lecture series online, that would be fantastic. And then it's open to anybody.
Yeah.
Larry, I am digging that Hawaiian shirt. I'm feeling like a really festive Sunday for you.
Yeah, it's summer, so I go Hawaiian shirts. In the winter, I go felt plaid.
Yeah.
The secrets are finally
revealed. Cool. Yep. I actually had a really good weekend, too. This Friday, I went out to go bowling and hiking with a friend of mine who's a Christian. And he explicitly wanted to hang out with me because he wanted to talk about the nature of faith. Because we had a conversation at work one day where he realized that after being 100% confident in his God, that he may not necessarily have the best ground to stand on with regard to his holy belief. And the way how we got there was through a quick 5-minute SC conversation. And I think he threw out, like, I know my God's real because of personal experiences and faith. And when I asked him to define faith, it's like, well, just trusting without evidence. And then I asked, is that 100% reliable way to know something's true? And it's like, absolutely not. No way, no way. And I was like, is it possible to have a personal experience that's not going, that might be misleading? He's like, yeah, that happens all the time. So I asked him, like, well, you're 100% confident. Do you have a 100% reliable method to get you there? He's like, I love this honest feedback too. He's like, actually, I don't. I don't think I'm 100% confident anymore. Simple as that. And yeah. So he wanted to ask a lot of things about, like, okay, well, if that's the case, and no one's ever asked me that before, no one's ever just like laid it out, boom, 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 where are you at? Because it sounds like you may not believe in a God. And I was like, no, I'm an agnostic atheist. I don't know if a God exists, and I also don't believe that a God exists. That's what those two terms mean, and they're compatible. Uh-huh. So he wants, like, okay, well, you got to tell me about this. Where do your morals come from? Who decides what's good for you? Like, and some basic apologetics that he heard from his pastor, how would I respond to them? And that was basically the nature of us hanging out. And it was a really fun conversation. I would like to throw out some of the questions he threw out at me, and we'll do.
You got to ask Dale. You got to ask Dale. How Jesus did it.
George, raise your hand. we're gonna do round tables, and we're gonna ask George, since you're excited, we're gonna try this out first. If a Christian asked you, after finding out that you're an atheist, where do your morals come from, how'd you respond to that?
The way I would respond to that is like this, that I have the challenge of having to have a built-in system of ethics that governs my behavior. And I am responsible to myself for enforcing that code in my own life. I have to be a decent person. I can't do it with the threat of hell hanging over me or the reward of heaven. I just have to have a very good built-in antenna for doing it. And I have to mention too that I think that the atheists I've known in general, not all of them, but mostly, have been very decent people, very humane, compassionate human beings.
Cool. Dread Pirate, how would you handle that? Let me ask you this. We're hanging out. We're having a good time. I told you I'm a Christian. I tell you I believe in God. You tell me you're an atheist, and that shakes my world. And I'm like, well you're an atheist, but you're such a good person.
Yeah.
So must be something weird here. Where do you get your morals from? Because you're a nice guy.
Well, yeah, I think it's just an interest in others' well-being. You know, in as much as I have a selfish interest in promoting my own well-being, it makes sense to promote others' well-being so that we can work together to be well together. And that's
what do you mean
where
by
I
well-being?
Would say I get my morals from.
Just going to poke. What do you mean by well-being?
Well, we all want to thrive. We don't simply want to subsist, I'm sure. Certainly I don't. And I don't want to just kind of maintain a status quo where, you know, the drudgery of everyday living is drudgery. I think we all have dreams and desires and ambitions. And in as much as we can work towards advancing our own, it again is in our own best interest to advance those of others.
Okay, not bad. I like it. Dale, as someone who does not believe in an active agent supernatural being controlling our lives on a daily basis, like, where do you get your morals from if not given to you by an active deity?
Well, I actually adhere to what Jesus said, do unto others. That sounds like a pretty good plan. It makes me want to trust.
That sounds like half of a moral philosophy.
What?
That sounds like half of a moral philosophy so far. Do unto others. There's like a really important other part of that, or else I'm just out there punching people, right? So, like, do unto others. Anyone want to finish that?
As you would have others do unto you, isn't that?
Ooh, we got the atheist. Let's go. Yeah, yeah. As you would have others want to do unto you, like.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dale, what do you got?
Well, I'm just saying that, as far as I'm concerned, is good enough. And you all may be ascribing it to being one of the Jesus originals, but it was not. So if you can say that Jesus simply repeated, do unto others, fine. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a pretty nice way. I wouldn't mind being around people who would treat me that way. And I would think that those people would like to be treated that way. As far as any more ethics or morals, I don't really think I need any more. The law pretty well takes care of me not killing people. Although I do mistrust people that says I don't murder because it's against the law, because it makes me think if it wasn't against the law, those people would be out running around killing everyone. It also makes me suspicious when a Christian says, I don't, you know, I do, I shall not kill because the Bible says so, which makes me think that you really don't have that much of a problem with killing, except that God says not to. And that's what I have to say about that.
Dread Pirate, what do you got? Dread Pirate, what do you got?
Well, you guys heard of the Platinum Rule?
No, tell me about it.
So the Platinum Rule is do unto others as they would want done to them.
Right. So there's like an additional condition of treating people how you want to be treated. It's some people want to be treated how they want to be treated. And I find like that is an overlooked ideal when you just look at what Jesus says. Because especially nowadays, there's a lot of people who want to speak up and say, hey, I'd prefer if you didn't do this to me. Well, it's like, well, I like being treated this way, so I'm going to treat you like that. It's like, no, we live in a society, treat people how they want to be treated too. George, what do you got?
I got a question for how Jesus did it. Dale, how prominent is the golden rule in the Bible?
Not very.
Cool. Larry.
There's a lot of, I mean, if people want to murdering and killing and raping and slavery, and Jesus himself scourged merchants in the temple.
Yeah, and he totally killed that fig tree.
Jesus himself was not beyond a little scourging when a little scourging was needed. So I'm sure the merchants did not like that. That rule probably breaks down right there, but it's a good guideline.
And the scourging, you have to remember that it wasn't a moment of passion, because he literally took some time to go over and create a scourge. He made his own scourge, and then he went in and started beating people with it.
It was fun about that.
Yeah.
Dread, what do you got? Oh, no, sorry.
The golden rule became, the golden rule became the wooden rule.
The wooden rule. Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Larry, I thought you were finished with your point. Sorry.
Well, you know, I just wanted to address this morality thing. George said you have a responsibility to yourself, but I just wanted to throw in also that you have a responsibility to your society, the people that you live with. A lot of people ask me, well, what's the standard for morality? Harm is the standard. Don't do harm to your neighbor. Don't do physical, emotional,
needless
financial
harm,
any kind of harm. It's just look, you don't want to do it, you know, as much as you wouldn't like to have it done to you, which brings us to Confucius. 500 years before Jesus said that, what he did, Confucius said the opposite, basically. He said, don't do unto others what you wouldn't have done to yourself. And I think that's really more
I like that.
Yeah, I set Larry up for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's
appreciate
nice. Larry, you have a full article out on this.
I do. Right? I have an old article on it. I can go to digitalfreethought.com in the blog area. And one last point I'd like to make is that Christians they don't get their morals from the Bible, even though they say they do. And I can prove it in like two sentences. If they all got their morals from the Bible, and they got all of their morals from the Bible, then they would all believe the same things. They wouldn't have any morality conflicts between themselves. And we know that they do. The Catholics and the Baptists and Protestants, all the different types of, believe different things as far as abortions and gays and homosexuals, you know, the things that they call morally bad. There are sects that believe that they're okay. And they would also believe that if they actually got their morals from the Bible, that they should kill unruly children or homosexuals or kill women who are not virgins on their wedding night. You know, so they pick and choose. And they use an independent moral system, one of their own, to do that picking and choosing from the Bible.
You guys were all hitting the nail right on the head. I think what I basically said, and this was a more of an elaborate conversation that we're having, but like my morals come from an understanding that my actions have consequences. And I want those consequences to maximize my well-being, like Dread Pirate mentioned, and reduce the amount of needless harm that's caused as a result, as what Larry was saying. And it's a very, very simple thing to understand that doesn't necessarily need to be written in a holy book to be true. And as Larry said in two sentences, you can break it down. I do my way of doing it is like, if the Bible told you not to steal, the Bible tells you not to steal, so you don't steal. If it wasn't in the Bible, would you just go around stealing everything? And they'd be like, no, of course not. It's like, doesn't sound like you need it in the Bible for you to not do it, right? So it doesn't need to be in a holy book for it to be true. Like, you can look at your own consequences of your actions and realize, hey, this is a good thing for me to do. This is a bad thing. We have that innate ability evolutionarily because we are a social species, and the people who don't either die off very quickly or end up in boxes for a long period of time. And that's just the thing it is. Dredd, do you want to skip? Cool. What's up?
Yeah. Just another thing about morals coming from the Bible. The idea of people doing good only under threat of punishment. It's not doing good for good's sake. You know, doing good for goodness sake is doing good under a threat of punishment.
Obedience is not morality.
I see, George.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely my point.
Yes, yes.
George, what do you got?
Well, you know, in listening to all this, I have to confess to myself that I think that the Bible is a big work of fiction.
I mean, there's some real locations in there. I'm really upset now. That totally means everything else is true. What are you talking about? Jordan's a real place.
Yeah, Jordan. Okay, so Jordan's a real place.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole thing is made up.
No.
So sprinkle some real places into it, and maybe it's Jesus was around.
Fantasize Jewish history, basically, is what it is. Built around real places.
There are some things that are really exaggerated. I can see some basis of truth, like some things happening, and then people without the technology or knowledge to compartmentalize what actually happened come up with a folklore to explain it instead. I can see certain things like that. Some things, though, are so mundane that it's like, yeah, that probably happened. It rained, or there was a desert, or I'm sorry, there was a famine. It's like, yeah, that probably happened. It probably rained. Some people's kids probably died. Like, these things happen. But did a supernatural being cause it? That's the stretch that I need some support on.
And Ty, probably not raining manna from heaven.
Well, I mean, if it's hail, you could technically eat that, and that is white stuff from...
Not very nutritious.
What is manna anyway?
Yeah, that's what's the deal with manna? Before we head out to the break, Dale, you wanted to say something? Go for it.
Manna is considered to be part of a plant that has a little nodule on it. And when it rained from heaven, if it sprouted in the morning, you might thought that it fell from heaven the night before.
Not a miracle anyway.
Like a spore. Well,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like plants just...
Manna actually means bread.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to start calling hail manna now.
Yeah, might as well.
Hail manna.
I got a quick roundtable question because this is related to morality as well. After I told him that, he was like, well, then who decides what's good? Because in his worldview, there's an authority that determines what's good and what's bad. And lacking that, and even with this system that we have, who decides what's good? Dredd, I'm going to throw it out to you real quick before we head to the break. What do you think? Who decides what's good?
Well, I think overall
loaded question, by the way.
That's dependent in your culture. So geographically, culturally, and over time, because certainly our views, on morality have shifted, over the course, even a couple hundred years. So I think there's no single authority. It's a kind of spread out.
Cool. It's like a communal effort, right?
Yes, exactly.
George, who decides what's good for you?
I do.
I love it.
it's pretty simple. I first of all, I have, maybe this is a misguided belief, but I believe that most people are essentially good, decent people, and I'm willing to trust them to do what's right, you know, to have an inner guidance about what's good and what's right.
I like that. Dale, who decides?
There's some people, of course, I think we need police to lock them up, but
sure, it gets crazy. Dale, who decides?
Yeah, but for the most part, I think most people are decent.
Dale, who decides what's good for you?
George.
Nice. Larry, who decides what's good for you?
I agree with George. I do, and society does, because different societies and different people have different views on what's good and what's bad. And we generally tend to clump together those who believe the same things. But basically, each individual has to decide. Now, I also, one of the things I like to mention is that the Bible is a big Rorschach test, and that you look at it and you pick out things that make sense to you, and you interpret internalize them, and it tells more about the person than it does about what's in the Bible, because everything's in the Bible,
you know? Right. And my thing, it would be, because we have different cultures, there's going to be different variances on good, but we commonly agree on some fundamental principles of, like, life is more preferable than death, being healthy is more preferable than being sick, and so on. And we can come up with a big list of rules that we all have in commonality with each other.
We have.
So even though some cultures,
the books of
law. Yes. So even though some cultures, we're getting toward the bottom of the break, but even though some cultures actually might diverge on some things, we can look at the ones that diverge and objectively come to an assessment on, okay, so you think women shouldn't vote? We let women vote, and because of that, we get twice as many engineers, because men and women in the workforce are engineers. Right. We can objectively see better bridges as a result. We have a better workforce. Our GDP is higher. Why don't you do that too? Because this is objectively benefiting us. So, like, even though people differ, we can use standards to figure out who actually has the best objective way of living, even with subjective principles on what good is. Sure. It's really interesting. But we're at the bottom of the break. Larry, why don't you take us out?
Okay. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back.
I am I myself alone. Realize I never need to use no one when it comes down to my soul. Freedom puts my faith in none of the above.
welcome back to the second half of the show. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and WZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Doubter 5, and this is Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. Let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year. ASK has more than 1,000 members now, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or you can just go to Google and say Knoxville Atheist and see what comes up. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee, or RET. They've been around more than 25 years. They're a large growing group, and you can find them at rationalists.org. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you could still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one.
Nice job, guys.
Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's called Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville Online, and you can find it on YouTube streaming. They've got several old shows and doing new shows every week. Go to YouTube and search Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville, or you can also search for Free Thought Forum Knoxville and find our 10-year archive on there. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or this radio show, just come to an ESC or RET meeting or Facebook page and tell us that you'd like to be involved. Go to Facebook and look for Atheist Society of Knoxville or Rationalists of East Tennessee. On the show with us today, we are our co-host, Wombat, and we have guests, George, Red Leader, and Jared Pirate Higgs. And where are we going to pick up on this?
Okay, so I had it right here, guys. It was right here. Where is it? Dread Pirate, where is it?
Where is the love?
Beautiful. All right.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So our question today comes from Multifairy Ace over at r/street epistemology on reddit.com. His question is, I've been watching a lot of SE, street epistemology, and call-in shows, and I've come to the conclusion that confirmation bias is the main threat to communication in my personal relationship. What confirmation bias, we'll get into it. That's a great point. We'll talk about what confirmation bias is. But he wants to know, does anyone else feel the same way? And what are good responses to let someone know or discover that they are a victim to confirmation bias? Dread Pirate, would you mind defining what confirmation bias is? And then how would you go about it?
Well, confirmation bias is sifting through incoming information and picking only those pieces of information that support your position. It's avoiding conflicting information.
Well said.
Yeah. Very good.
I'll be a professor one day.
You will be. How would you let someone know that they're a victim to confirmation bias?
Gently, because you don't want somebody to, dig in their heels and get defensive. That's the biggest concern in any kind of conversation where you're trying to let someone know that they have some cognitive bias.
But we should
remember you don't want them to fight you.
We all are.
Yes, that's a fantastic point.
That's some Larry, point
Larry, I think you hit it right on the head. The way how I do it is be open to the idea that even I am susceptible to confirmation bias. And what I look for when I respond is not me teaching someone that they're a victim of confirmation bias, but to ask from their point of view if they have a way of disconfirming what they believe to be true. Because at least then we're working together to see if they have a frame of reference of what they believe and what would it take for them to show that they can't believe that thing anymore. And so what I mean by disconfirmation is, say I believe I only have white socks. And I would simply ask, okay, so what would make you change your mind that you have any other color sock? And I would have to think about, okay, well, if I pulled out black socks from my sock drawer, that would be a good example. If I had red socks, that would show that I don't only have white socks. Now I'm thinking about how what would it take for me to show that I'm wrong? And that process is so useful because that's how you get out of confirmation bias. Because now you building a criteria that it would take for you to actually change your mind. Dale, what do you have?
I have a much better example of confirmation bias. If you watch Fox News, you have confirmation bias.
Oh, here's our weekly Trump dump. Trump dump! View. Okay.
I'm talking about Fox News.
Right.
You watch Fox News, you are wholly uninformed.
Cool.
You are
and disinforming
or going after that information that you want to be supported. I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, such and such, and then I say, well, explain it to me. Mm. And they go, well, I can't explain it. Go watch Hannity. He will explain it to you.
Right. George, you're on mute right now, so unmute yourself and feel free to jump back in the conversation.
You know, I live on a little dead-end street. There's only five houses on this street. And a neighbor across the street He listens to Rush Limbaugh every day. And when I moved here, he was flying a big Confederate battle flag. My neighbor directly to the west just put in central heating and air, and along with it got cable TV, and told me how much he admires Fox News. My neighbor across the street opined gently that Fox News is a little bit too far to the left for him. And so my question is, faced with these realities, being the guy who reads The Guardian every day, where's our point of entry?
George, I'd like to supplement one other question on top of that directly to you. George, how would you deal with someone who has confirmation bias, and how would you let them know that they're a victim to it?
Boy, I've been thinking about that for days, to be honest with you. 'Cause every day in my mind, I rehearse talking with my neighbor across the street.
Okay, and, in your head?
Yeah, I rehearse in my head. I confess I do this. And I'm aware I've got my own biases, you know.
Sure.
As you said, we all do. Where do I come to him from? You know, and I have a little bit of an answer to my question. And it's something I think I mentioned here before, is to tell him I stories, you know, to come at him with confessions of my own, that, for instance, I have been accused of being racially biased in my life. And so start there, because this guy has, you know, like find some point of commonality.
Cool.
And even start from a confession, you know.
I like building rapport with the people that I talk to and let them know where I'm coming from as a way to like soften the blow. But I feel like the question of, and this could use some wordsmithing, but basically, how would you know if you're wrong? Don't say wrong. People hate that. But like, how would you know if it was some other case? Or like, how would you, depending on what the circumstances, how would you know if you had different colors of stock? How would you know if MSNBC is also confirmation or is also biased? Like, what would it take for you to think something different? Like, ask them process questions where they will need to give you a criteria, because that's where you make them go from, oh, he's just telling me an opinion, to he's asking me to think. And when you can make them think for themselves, that's where the magic happens. We started the show talking about a friend of mine who was a Christian, and he was asking some questions about the nature of how do atheists get morals and who decides what's good for them. We've been going out over the show today. I'd like to go over the next thing that he brought up, which was sort of like it is sort of like an interesting concept. So the idea is we were talking about Christians in general, because he was like, well, the Bible says X, Y, Z. I was like, are you familiar with like different denominations of Christianity? And some don't even have the same version of the Bible. Nigerians have a completely different Bible than like the ones in the West. There's a black Jesus. there's ideas that aren't carried over, and it makes a lot more sense because they're a lot closer to Jerusalem. But I'm just saying, like, there's ideas that aren't common among all Christians. And what he said was, oh, well, those are heathens. Like, anyone who doesn't believe in these five things that everyone agrees on because of Christianity, because St. Augustine said them, then they're not a true Christian. And I asked him immediately, like, well, were there Christians before that guy came up with those five rules? He's like, yeah. And then that was enough to like make him think. But I'm concerned with the idea of the like no true Scotsman fallacy.
No true Scotsman, like, exactly.
Yeah. So like,
what's that? I'm lost.
George, I'll get you. I already know. Dredd, I have a question for you. How do you deal with someone who's like, oh, well, anyone who doesn't believe what I believe isn't one of my things? What do you think about that? And you can throw in a definition for no true Scotsman if you want.
Maybe somebody else could feel this. I got to think about that.
Yeah, I thought it was a Larry, dumb question, too.
Dale, were you saying something?
No, it was an excellent question.
Larry, what do you think of the idea of someone saying, well, anyone who doesn't believe my version of Christianity isn't a real Christian? So that solves that problem.
Well, that's the thing. It's similar to the Christian saying, I know that guy killed three people and he said he was a Christian, but he's not a Christian. A Christian wouldn't do that. Right. And it's the same thing, because as soon as somebody does something bad, they're no longer a Christian. So therefore, right. Bottom line, no Christian can ever do anything bad.
Mm. Right.
And that gets us back to the no true Scotsman, which I'll explain here. Take a second. It's like you're in Scotland. You're talking to somebody, and you say, "I'm going to have a whiskey." And put a shot of rye in it. Oh, no true Scotsman would ever have a whiskey with rye in it. And they say, "Well, McDougal up the street, he likes rye in his whiskey." Yeah, but he's not a true Scotsman. So anybody who doesn't fit their definition of a Christian or a Scotsman or whatever, they are automatically not included.
Yeah. I want to just take a moment and give appreciation for Larry's fake made up Scottish names. McDougal, McPherson. McTavish. It's like, yeah, McTavish, all that stuff.
Well, my great grandmother was a McMacken.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Dredd, do you feel better or should we go to someone?
Let's see if somebody else is interested. I've been talking a lot. So,
Dale. How do you feel about the idea of a no true Scotsman fallacy? Like if someone said, hey, you're not really an atheist or you're not really a deist unless you do X, Y, Z. And you're like, I've been a deist for an extended period of my life. It's like, well, you're not a true deist because you don't have this thumbtack or something like that. Like, have you dealt with that? How do you deal with it? Et cetera.
No one's ever told me that I wasn't a true deist.
Dale, you're not a true deist.
Okay. Now that it's now happened, what? I would fall back on the golden rule, treat people as you would like them to be treated. For example, if someone is a Mormon and they say that they're Christian, well, they are not considered Christian by most of the Protestant religions. Right. However, if they say that they're Christian, who am I to disagree? Right. So who are you to disagree with me on me being a deist?
Who are you to disagree? Okay.
Yeah, George. See, there's the answer.
Yeah. George, what do you got?
If I say I'm a deist, well, you've got no business saying that I'm not.
My neighbor's brother came at me. I'm trying to figure out what to leave out. Came at me with the statement that because I did not believe in Jesus, that I was not going to go to heaven. And put a card under my front door for a fake Jewish organization near me, which is just for those of you who aren't familiar, I call myself a Jewish atheist, which means I come from a Jewish background. And what am I going to say to people who come to my door promoting Christianity? I'm offended by that. I mean, Jews don't proselytize.
Amen.
We don't do that. If you want Amen. To become a, yeah, right. In fact, the tradition
or
in
two
Judaism,
men if they come to your door in pairs.
What's Sorry, that?
George, bad joke. What do you got?
Okay. The tradition in Judaism is that if you want to become Jewish, you got to go beg the rabbi to do it. And you got to beg him three times. because he's going to turn you down first too. He's not going to believe that you're sincere. So here somebody shoves a card under my door. There are these fake Jewish communities, you know, like Jews for Jesus, for instance. They do proselytize, and it's bizarre, you know. So my word to these guys is, real Jews don't proselytize.
Oh, interesting. So you are the one saying, hey, you're not a true Jew, or you're not.
I am, and I'm an atheist. However,
so there's like layers here.
There's layers here, yes. Well, however, and there are these latter-day Jews. They're called Hasidim, and they're on television too. And I'm trying to look for the word. They have like these messianic rabbis that they wrap themselves around. You know, these guys who.
They're really devoted, but beyond that, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I say to myself, well, okay, they say they're real Jews. They are, you know, they walk around in clothing from the 17th century, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And exist in New York State in complete communities. So,
well, I'm actually going to throw this out to Larry, because you might agree with me here. We are in a desperate situation where a holy being, a holy supernatural, all-powerful, omnipresent being says, these are my people, these aren't my people, but I'm not going to give you a measuring stick to determine. So you're just going to have to figure that out for yourselves. And as a result, you have bifurcations, upon scissions, upon subgroups, upon rivals and enemies who basically live on the same block and agree the exact same thing, except one pastor has a blue car and the other one has a red Cadillac, right? they can't agree with each other. Doesn't this look like an example where it would have been a lot better if the God just came down and been like,
oh gosh, that's the only answer. You know, this group says that God chose them. This group said that God chose them, and they have conflicting morals. They have conflicting commandments. It would all be settled if a deity came down and said, I'm here, that's my people. Right. But it never happens. This is not something that we've ever seen.
I see you, George. I was saying to my friend that we should have a measuring stick that just says Christian. It's like a one-notch measuring stick. And you hold it up, and it will magically reach where it needs to be like, this guy's a Christian. And if it's not, it doesn't go anywhere. And like, this guy's Christian, that's not Christian. If we had that, we wouldn't need these kinds of five rules from St. Augustine, etc. George, real quick, and then we'll go back to Dredd. Dredd, George.
Well, I just want to say how much I love Larry's little benediction at the end, where he says, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. And the only way I would modify that was to say, you are going to somebody else's.
I have memes that say that.
No truer statement in the world than Larry saying, I have memes.
And I put in parentheses at the bottom, is this everybody is.
Yes.
Dredd Pirate, what do you have?
So usually in the no true Scotsman situation, I just reference, and usually that comes up in the context of an SE, Street Epistemology conversation, I end up just referencing previous conversations where, for instance, I might have had a conversation with Mormons who would have said this very same thing and then ask my current interlocutor, how would you respond to that? Like, you know, if the Mormons had said the exact same thing, that, you know, their way is the true way. Joseph Smith, he's the final prophet. And if you're not believing our way, you're not coming where we're going.
Right.
And ask that person, then how do you respond to that?
And I'm going to bring up something kind of important that builds on top of what you said, Dredd. It also feeds back on what Dale was saying. Like, who are you to question this? Or like, basically, why even believe that claim in the first place? Or like, how'd you figure that out? When I'm doing SE, and we've talked about SE before multiple times in the show, even on this channel, but I think of it in three parts. There's the person who has the belief, there's their conclusion, and then there's a through line called the methodology or the epistemology. And I want to ask questions about that, because if you sever that link, or if you make it stronger, it's a good thing, because you either free a person from a bad conclusion or come with a better reason to reach their conclusion. And both of those things are good. Right. And so if someone says, hey, I don't believe these people aren't real Christians. Rather than dig into the nature of what it means to be a Christian and what philosophies they're following and what schism has, what, you know, morals or commandments and not, that's right. Digging into the conclusion. And there's a lot of ego built in there, a lot of ego that person identifies with. Instead, it's a lot easier to just be like, you don't think they're Christians. How'd you come to that conclusion? Let them think about that. Let them do the thinking. And then they have to come up with criteria to base that off of. And then they say, oh, well, you know, some guy in the past said there was five rules and you either follow it if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian. It's like, were you Christians before that? Yes. Okay. So it doesn't seem like those five rules are really the point. What other criteria do you have? I don't think I have one. It's like, then why do you believe it so strongly? I guess I don't. And that was literally like the three-part combo that helped us move on from that, you know, justification that he had, that anyone who didn't believe that he did wasn't a real Christian. And he did that thinking on his own. Dread Pirate, what do you have?
I just wanted to add to that you end up through that conversational method is you end up putting tools in a toolkit for them that they can then use in other situations outside of the immediate circumstance.
Yeah, and I'll show you how it goes bad. This is when you start digging into the conclusion and you don't want to do this. Say he said, hey, you have to believe in the resurrection to be a Christian, right? In the Bible itself, there are other people being crucified along with Jesus, right? They died before they saw Jesus get resurrected. Yet, Jesus was the one who told them verbatim that they were going to be saved and be sent to heaven or be sitting aside next to him in heaven. But if I start going to that triggers all the Rockshore Bible quotes where it's like, whoa, no. You see Mary in chapter 4:6-6 is like, and you don't want to dig into those weeds.
Exactly.
Stick to the methodology. Do you have a good reason to believe that? And if they present it to you, great. But if not, give them the time to realize that on their own. Don't teach them. Get them to the conclusion. Work with them. And if you can't get there together, that says way more than you just telling them, hey, you're wrong. George, what do you have?
Boy, I am thinking, I have met two people since I've come to Tennessee. I have met two people who only read the Bible. That's all they know.
All right.
Sorry.
It's okay. So George was saying like he's met people who read the Bible and he'll get to us. No doubt. Also, we're going to be having a conversation with George, about more serious topics, and that you can have that to look forward to in the future. But I think we're rounding out towards the end of the episode. Larry, why don't you, Larry, I want you to do the catchphrase. So Dredd, where can we find you? What's some good stuff that we can look forward to?
Well, on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time or Pacific Daylight Time, whichever it happens to be, we are streaming live on YouTube at Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. And cool. We have a couple of folks on right now. I just wanted to point out that one of our regular viewers says he has something that he calls conviction bias. I am convinced, therefore it's true.
That's true.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And I think we learned a lot of good things just in this conversation too. And thank you guys so much for helping me like crystallize the conversation I had. I would say as just like a quick review, we get our morals from being social animals in a social space, and it's okay for us to come up with our own rules for how we live, because we can compare our rules against each other and come up with even better systems. And there tends to be way more overlap with the things that we agree on when we want to all live together peacefully and thrive as a community than there are desperate things. And we can work on those desperate things. Don't attack people, talk about their methodologies. And here's the thing, don't dig into the weeds of their conclusion. Like if they have like a really, you know, intricate understanding of the Bible, you don't need to talk about any of that. Just be like, do I have a good reason to believe any of this? And and that's the better way to frame the conversation rather than is this verse conflating with a verse 4:6-8? You don't have to go to that. Just ask about the methodology of how they came to the conclusion, not about the conclusion themselves. Because you'll believe it if they give you a good reason, and you have to be open to that. And then you can find examples of SE on my channel. It's at Let's Chat on YouTube. Dale, you have a bust there. What's going on there? What's that severed head?
This is one of three sculptures that I've done. It's dedicated to my hometown. This is Estes Kefauver. He is in the news recently because of the antitrust trial, Senate hearings that are going on. He championed antitrust and anti-monopoly, and he ran for president. A very, very impressive man. He was from Madisonville.
Nice. Very cool. What was his name again?
Estes Kefauver.
Kefauver. Very cool. George, I know you probably don't have anything to present, but I am looking forward to having that conversation with you, and I think we can share that together.
Yeah. It's my phone. Okay. Cool. Can we do it in public?
We'll be recorded and shown in public.
Great.
So, yeah, it'll be on the internet. That's even more public than people realize. And Larry, why don't you close this out?
Okay. This has been Digital Free Thought Radio, WOZO Radio 103.9 FM here in Knoxville. Be sure to visit my blog at digitalfreethought.com. Click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist at knoxvilleatheists.org, and we'll try to get to them in the future shows. If you'd like to listen to prior shows, you can go to digitalfreethought.com, but they're also available on podcasts throughout the web, iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary, podcast.com, et cetera, et cetera. Just do a search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe you can be notified when new episodes are posted. And remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. And the time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. Join us next week, 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LP FM, right here in Knoxville for a Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. See you then. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Amen.
Bye. Bye.
Listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply